Thank God this day for His Word. There's an amazing quality about God's Word. I want to speak to us a little bit today from the book of James, chapter 1, and some other scriptures. James chapter 1 and verse 21 in the end of the verse says, "Receive with meekness the word." Receive it with meekness, or with all your defenses down. Just receive the word into your hearts. Why? Because it's able to save your souls. There's a power in God's word. Hebrews 4 and 16, I believe it is, says that His word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. 4:12, Hebrews 4:12. Anyway, this says that it's able to save you. It's able to change your life. Obeying and reading God's word and believing the plan of salvation that He's put in here, it will do it. It will change your life. It will save you. These verses that these children are learning, no value could be put on them, because you're putting that into your life and you couldn't ever tell just what that's going to do for you. It's going to do amazing things for you. So it's able to save you, and we want to receive it into our lives. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Very simple thought there. If you don't do what you hear, if you don't do God's word, obey it, pretty soon you keep on hearing God's word, but you don't do it, you'll be deceived. That's a very fearful thought. We were talking, I think it was yesterday, about how did someone get in the, if they were a preacher and now they're not living for God, how did they get there? And one of the things I've learned, and this is what I answered, was if you don't live what you believe, pretty soon you will believe what you live. Think about that. If we're taught God's word from the pulpit or from our reading, and we believe, you know, I believe God, I believe this is His word, but I don't do it, after a while, the way that I do, the way that I live, that's how I'll believe. That's the way it is. And that's happened to many people. He said, "You'll be deceived if you be a hearer only and not a doer. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror." We're going to talk about mirrors this morning a little bit. "He beholds himself and goes his way, and he straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now there's a process implied here. How does this happen? How does simply looking into God's word as one would look into a mirror, how does that bless your whole life? How does it, when you look into God's word and you don't forget what it says, but you go and you put it into your life and you live it day after day? It said this man will be blessed. What is the process there? And that's what I want to speak to us about this morning. Now, there's something about a mirror, but there's something about the mirror of God's word that's even, there's some qualities about that that's interesting. When you look in a mirror, If you are to see yourself real good, face on, you've got to look in that mirror face on. I've noticed this because in our bus where we're living, there's different places where mirrors are. And we've learned that you can be in a spot over here and see one of the mirrors, and then there's a mirror over there, and you can see more than what you think you would see because the mirrors reflect off of each other. If you were over here, I wish I had couple mirrors I would show you. I noticed that if you look into a mirror from an angle, you see exactly the opposite angle, right? The right, if it like a right, a straight right angle, you see that person that's over there. And if you took a straight line from each person, it would go to the mirror. And if that person was looking into the mirror, they would see you. You can't see yourself, but you can see the other person. And I've thought about, a lot about that and how people look at the Word of God. Did you know there are people who listen to and read the Word of God, but they do so in such a way that all they see is other people? Wow, so-and-so ought to hear that. You ought to be telling that to this person. They're the one that needs it. And that person, he's looking in the mirror, but he's not looking in it to see himself. In order for us to be blessed in our lives, we've got to look in the mirror of God's Word in such a way as for it to fully reveal who we are. We've got to be able to see ourselves in that mirror. We've got to look straight on. There's another scripture about that, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's see. Chapter 3. Now this speaks about the difference between the law given to Moses that was written on tables of stone. And if you can recall the story, it wasn't done in quiet, was it? There was great thunderings and lightnings, and a trumpet sounded louder and louder, and the earth quaked, and the mountain shook and trembled, and lightning. And it was quite a deal, the giving of the law. And he said, if that was glorious, then what God has given in writing his laws in our hearts by his Spirit, that's even more glorious. And he said, back then, Moses, who went up into the mountain and he talked face to face with God, there was such a glory about that that when he came down, his very face shone. His literal earthly skin, it radiated a supernatural glory. It radiated off of Moses' skin. And it was so bright. This really happened. I just can't imagine it. I've never seen anything like it, but I believe God's word. I believe this is the way it was. So this tells how that Moses, his skin glowed so brightly that the people said, we can't talk to you. You've got this light that's blinding our eyes. Every time I look at you, it's just blinding me. You've got to do something about it. And so they put this piece of cloth over Moses' face, so that he could talk to him and he's under the cloth. That would be kind of strange, wouldn't it, for a preacher to be up here and I'm all under this cloth. Well, when that was a really an allegory, a spiritual lesson of the condition of people's hearts. In this scripture, in verse 14, 2 Corinthians 3 and 14, it says, their minds were blinded. For until this day remains the same veil, untaken away, in the reading of the Old Testament. And those people, the veil really that kept them from seeing the glory and the light of God wasn't on Moses' face. Spiritually, it was over their hearts. So they could not look into the perfect law of liberty. God's perfect law of liberty has a quality about it where if we really look into it, it'll do something for us. It'll change us. We're getting ready to read that right here. This is the quality of the mirror of God's word. You don't just see yourself. You do see yourself. But there's a quality about the mirror of God's word that begins to transform you, because there's something else that we see in God's word. Can you tell me what it is? We not only see ourselves, but we see something else. What do we see in God's word? This is a very interesting mirror. We not only see ourselves, how we are, but when we look into the mirror of God's word, we see Jesus Christ. When we see Jesus, when we really see Jesus, when He is revealed to us, and that's what it takes. It takes the Father revealing Him to us. When we really see Jesus, that's what begins to change us. We see ourselves, we see what we need, we see who we are, we see our lacks and our shortcomings, and we also see Jesus Christ. We see what He can do for us. We see His wisdom and His power and His holiness. It's really so bright that you either have to be changed into that image or get away from it. And this is what most people, they move away from what they see. They don't, they put the veil over their heart so that they can't look at it. A lot of people today, the real gospel, the truth, they don't really want it at first. It's just too much. The veil is over their hearts. But He said here, this veil, in verse 14, we didn't read that last part, this veil is done away in Christ. When this, it says, even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when that heart turns to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now we can see into the mirror. Now we can see into God's Word. Now we can see Him, and we can see ourselves. But as long as there is this rejection, as long as there is unbelief, as long as there is doubt and fear, when we look into God's Word, we don't really accept it. We don't really believe it. It bothers us. We don't want to. We kind of turn away. We're looking at it from an angle. We throw it off, and we can see other people, but we can't really see ourselves. All of that will prevent us from being changed by God's Word. This says, when the heart turns to the Lord, when we begin to say, Lord, reveal Yourself to me. Manifest Yourself to me. When He begins to manifest Himself to us, there's a lot of other things that begin to be clear also. He manifests us to us. He begins to show ourselves to us. We begin to see things very clearly, how we are and what God can do for us. When that heart, when we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. In Christ, when we really turn to Christ, everything that He is, we can then begin to be, because we have taken away the veil. I've often compared it to the lens cap on a camera. If you try to take pictures with your, and this is, people have done this before. They said they got, this is back whenever you would put a roll of film in and you would take pictures. The person said, I had a whole wedding of the lens cap. People would just think that they were taking pictures, and I don't understand. I guess back then you look through the lens. I don't know how a person could do that. But anyway, I've heard people that have done that. It's like having a lens cap, because the light has to go in through the lens in order to imprint the image. And that's what we have to have, our hearts turned to the Lord, so that we can really see in the mirror of His Word, see us, see Him, and then begin to change into His image. I remember a mirror in my childhood. Some people who are very wealthy friends of ours, when I go to their house, I was mesmerized by this mirror that they had. When you looked in the mirror, it was like you could look down a hallway of mirrors, and there were little tiny lights all around it. Do you remember that kind of mirror? And you could look, it was like you could look into the future. It was a very interesting mirror. I don't know how it was made, but I would look and I would look and I would look into it. I've thought about that, and thinking of God's Word being like a mirror, where you could look and you could, things would be revealed to you that were deeper than the surface, but just looking and and it things would come real clear to you. Things that were one time far away, things that were one time not understood. When the veil is taken away, it's like God then begins to reveal and reveal and reveal. Paul wanted, well, let's keep reading this. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And this word liberty, it means access. When the Holy Spirit takes this cover off of your heart and the Word of God really begins to enter into your heart. Jesus, sometimes he would tell his disciples something and he'd say, let these sayings sink down into your ears. What he really meant was, put this in your heart. Think about this until the light comes on and you understand. When the Spirit of the Lord has taken away that veil, then we all with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit or from the Spirit of the Lord. I was thinking of how he wanted the saints to understand and to have revelation. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, I believe. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what Paul would pray, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Here's another prayer, Colossians chapter 2. Well, not necessarily a prayer here, but, oh, yeah, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. See, it's important for us to be able to look into the mirror, not just see others, but to see ourselves, and not just to see ourselves, but to see deeper, to see him, to have him revealed to us, to have our understanding opened, to have an open face. Why? Because when that begins to come into our life, we are changed into that same image. And it works just that way. This really works this way. When your understanding is enlightened to who he is and what he can do for you, it changes you. It convinces you, and then you're changed into that same image. Not just like all the way, because he said it's a process. It says we're changed from glory to glory. We're transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I believe we go into that image as we understand. There's things that I don't understand even yet. But I'm thinking, as I understand even more, the Lord will help me to go even more into that image. Now, I'm back to 2 Corinthians. Look at chapter 4. In verse 4, it tells the opposition that you have, not only from your own unbelief and your own defenses and the veil that you have in your heart, but here's something else. In whom the God, or verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In verse 6 it says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, how many of us can say, I've seen, spiritually, I have seen the face of Jesus Christ. I have really seen Him. I heard of Him as a child. He was preached to me. But now I've been able to see Him. You'll know it when you do. You'll know it'll that when He is revealed to you. Peter, remember the place there where Jesus said, Who do you say that I am? He asked His disciples. Peter said, You are the Messiah, the Christ, is what he said there in the Greek, but it was the word for Messiah. You are the Messiah. You are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And Peter, he just declared that so assuredly. And Jesus said, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. My Father revealed that to you. I believe what he was saying was there, we can't just get a revelation of Jesus Christ. You just can't get it from a book. You just can't get it from your teacher, your preacher. It's got to come from God. The revelation must come from God. Let's seek the Lord today. Lord, reveal Jesus Christ to me. Reveal Him through the Word. Now, you can begin to read. Read. Open your heart to the Word. That's the mirror. Open. Read with open heart. Read with open mind. Keep reading. Don't let the enemy come and blind your minds to the gospel. But keep reading. Keep searching. Open up and ask the Lord constantly, Lord, show me what I need. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Show me yourself. Manifest yourself to me. And the Lord will begin to do that. I promise you the Lord will begin to do that. When He begins to do that, you're not just going to, remember, you're not just going to see Him. You're going to see you. Whenever the light comes into our hearts, we'll see who we are. I remember it happening to me. And I want to tell you, I thought I was a pretty good girl. In fact, I was a rather arrogant girl. Because I thought I was so good. I thought I had victory over this, and I thought I was doing this right, and I thought that this is the way that things should be, and I was pretty arrogant. But whenever the Lord revealed Himself to me, and He revealed me to me, self was very ugly. Myself, it was uglier than what I've ever dreamed or imagined. So be prepared. Don't be disappointed when God, He begins to reveal things to you and it's not very good and He begins to open these things up and let you see yourself. Don't run away. Don't get over at an angle and throw it off on somebody else. But just say, you know, He showed me that. He showed me Himself. If I'll just receive it, He'll make me into what He is. It's just that simple. We don't have to fear Him revealing us, because at the same time, He's going to begin changing us. And the Lord has done that. It's taken time. David, his prayer, I'll finish up with this morning. I don't have a lot this morning, but I just wanted to bring this little thought. Remember, look in the mirror. See the mirror of God's Word. It discerns your thoughts and your intents. He knows the secrets. The secret sins, David said at one time, or one of the psalmists said there, are in the light of your countenance. You have put the secret sins, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. There is nothing hidden. God knows every motive, intent, purpose, plan. Plan A, Plan B, everything that we have hidden, it's all revealed to God. And there is no what does the scripture say? Neither is there anything. I'm going to have to get that because I keep going on around that. Right before I go to Psalms here, let's look at this in Hebrews 4. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick, or it's alive, and powerful. Powerful is, it's mighty. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. When I think about that, I think about the scene of Ananias and Sapphira, how the word of God was like a sword there. It cut those two off. That's very fearful to think about how they tried to deceive the Spirit of God. You can't do that. He is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Manifest means clearly known. Very clear. That's what the word manifest means. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Let's remember that. And now let's go to Psalm 139 and David's prayer. In verse 23, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think about that mirror that I saw in my past. It was like a tunnel of mirrors. It was like a path with little lights, and it went infinity. It went. And that's what I think about when I read this verse. See, look at me, Lord. Reveal myself to me. Reveal yourself to me. See if there's wicked way in me. I open my heart. I take off the veil. I just come to you with an open face and see if there be any wicked way in me. This word wicked, you might think, oh, you're talking about a thief or a drunkard or a robber or a loose woman or something like that. This word wicked, it means way of pain. Do I have any way about me that causes pain to other people? That puts it right down into home life, doesn't it? Do I have a way of talking? Do I have a way of dealing that I leave in my wake little people that are hurt and wounded all the time, just constantly? Barb here and a sharp word here. This says, see, Lord, if there be any way of pain in me, and lead me down that everlasting path. Amen.